Halachas and Muksa. It's very easy and interesting. Rabbi Sai, let's begin. Rabbi Sai. Okay, it's on page Tav Kuf Chaf. Page Tav Kuf Chaf Halacha Vav. We're up to Halacha Vav. Klal Amr Muksa. Now we're going to try to pick up some speed. Klal Amr Muksa. Shakol Dava Shahi Muksa Ben Ashmashas. These are the, we're going to have some of the very basic principles. There are many, many principles in the laws of Muksa. He knocks them off the Chayadim one after another. Next Klal when it comes to Muksa, two pages. Next Klal of Muksa is Ben Ashmashas. What's Ben Ashmashas? Kol Dava Shahi Muksa Shahi Muksa Ben Ashmashas. Anything was Muksa Ben Ashmashas. Chayyad Asa Betiltul Ben Ashmashas. Anything that was Muksa. Bein hashmashos, and then on Shabbos, the reason for the muksa goes away. It doesn't make a difference. The rule of muksa is the famous rule. We say the principle migo. Migo literally means because the iskatsoi lebein hashmashos. They used to say in yeshiva since, but since is not the right word. Since only is used for time. Is that correct? Any grammar experts here? Since is a word you only use when you are referencing time. So you can't use the word since. Migo, because the iskat so'i, it is set aside, lebein hashmashos, iskat so'i, lukulu yoma. The imha yoroi ben hashmashos, therefore, let's say the other way around. There's a leniency that results from this principle. Let's say it was fit to be used ben hashmashos. The era, davarsh niskalkal boba yom. And then something occurred, that it's no longer fit during Shabbos itself. So right now on Shabbos, it's not fit for consumption, it's not fit for use, so I have no use for it. But then the chazar v'nisa kein bo bayom, and then the reason why it was disqualified has now been reinstated. So now we do not say that since for a few moments on Shabbos it was muksa, that muksa remains with it for the remainder of Shabbos. No, the only muksa is the muksa that applies ben hashmashos. Chazar lehetera, we return, but it's reinstated to its heter. The ein muksa lachatzi Shabbos. That is the yisoid. Those are the key words. There's no such thing as muksa for half of Shabbos. Either it's muksa for the entire Shabbos, or it's not muksa at all. If you have a situation where for a few moments you can't use it, okay, you can't use it, but it's not muksa. There's no such thing as limiting muksa only for part of Shabbos. It's either muksa the entire Shabbos, only muksa, or not muksa at all. And we do the modern applications, we'll see some examples. Halacha. So what you're asking, halacha l'maisa b'zman hazeh, what is called, a very good question you're asking. Halacha l'maisa, what would we consider for modern day applications to be today for bein hashmashos? That would first of all depend upon if you are a chosid or a misnagid. If you're a misnagid, so probably everyone over here in this room, so that would, I'm making the following assumption. I'm assuming it would be from 9 minutes after sunset, no, 10 minutes. 10 minutes after sunset until 30 minutes after sunset, which is 20 minutes. 20 minutes, because Moshe holds that you can be mekel, especially when it comes to Din Rabbanan, for the first 9 minutes. The first 9 minutes after sunset is 2% of the day. And therefore, you don't have to lo nitna Torah l'malachei hasharetz. The Torah was not given to angels, and just because the sun sets doesn't mean you have to consider it to be at that moment in time, the day is over. The day is not over. We hold that the Bein Hashmashos begins, according to us, Ashkenazim, Litvax, Mesnagdim, with sunset. After sunset begins Bein Hashmashos, for Mincha, you should complete the entire Mincha before sunset. You should wash for Shalosh Su'udais before sunset. Let's say you're running a little bit late, and you have a minion, and the guy first put together a minion Gzuntait, after it's already sunset, and you first have a minyan, can you still daven mincha? Yeah, you can daven mincha. The world won't come to an end, even though you're a litvak, you can still daven mincha, even though the sun has set, for the next 9 minutes. After already 9 minutes have passed, you shouldn't daven mincha anymore. It's too late. Unless you want to make believe, that you're a chas av, a shtigl chasidish, a yichus, for today, I'll be samech on the chasidim, so that they hold that the day is not over until 72 minutes after sunset. That's when the day is over. So go minus 18 minutes from 72, which what is that takes us to 54 minutes. So then the day is not over for 54 minutes. This has many modern applications, like a bris milah. A baby is born. A baby is born Friday. A baby is born Friday afternoon. Things like that. But halacha l'maisa, so halacha l'maisa, Ashkenazim, they pretty much hold that when does Ben Hashemashos end? So we will not, most of us here will not do mulacha until Shabbos is over for 50 minutes, 5-0. That's why I assume everyone is, but that's only a chumrah. Me'ikar hadin, when does Shabbos really end? So you could assume, what? It's about 30 minutes. And Moshe says 30 minutes. He's a steer. Some place he says 30 minutes, another place he says 40 minutes. So Moshe says when it comes to the other way around, Bein Hashmashos, you could assume that Bein Hashmashos has ended at 30 minutes after sunset. So I'm making an assumption now. I'm just talking off the top of my head. We have to see all the books, because it's very important how they paskin. I'm making an assumption we have to see is that Bein Hashmashos in modern times for us would be between 10 minutes after sunset to 30 minutes after sunset. Until 10 minutes after sunset, it's still not Shabbos yet. And 30 minutes after sunset, Shabbos has begun for real. You have to assume that Shabbos has really begun. You're not allowed to do malacha. Shabbos has really begun. So what do we call Ben? 20 minutes. Those 20 minutes from 10 until 30 would be called Ben Hashmashos. And if you have an object, and the object was muksa during those 20 minutes, then it remains muksa for the remainder of Shabbos. But if the object was not muksa during those 20 minutes, then it's not muksa on Shabbos. If in Shabbos, for some reason, it cannot be used, and then it can be used, so there's no muksa issue, because it was not muksa during those 20 minutes. Okay? Does that answer your question in a nutshell?
But suppose I can undo the muksa in the first 5 minutes, no good, because I'm already in that 10 minutes to 30 minute time gap?
Sit again? Suppose?
Shkia is already here. The sun is set 18 minutes after camp.
Okay, so
have you
entered into 10? Have you now arrived? I told you the zman of Bein Hashmashos that it must be muksav is between 10 minutes and 30 minutes.
In that 20 minutes.
Oh, let's say it changes status. So l'chora, it all depends on the very. And on the very end, yes, very, very good. Let's say Bein Hashmashos is a long period of time. Let's say it changes status during those 20 minutes. So part of those 20 minutes it was muksa, part it was not muksa. Excellent question. I don't know the answer. I'm assuming what really counts is the very end. The very end. I'm making that assumption that if the very last moment, when you go into minute, maybe that's really what it depends on. The Bein Hashmashos for us is 20 minutes. It depends on the last second of those 20 minutes. When you're going from 19:59 until 20:00, that's what's critical. Because that's when Shabbos begins, for in practical reasons for the laws of Muksa, that second in time, what is its status? So we really have to define what is Bein Hashmashos Lahalacha. Number two, it has to be L'chayra, the last second. If this object entered into Shabbos, it went from the transition of Bein Hashmashos into Shabbos Mamash in a state of Muksa, it's Muksa the whole Shabbos. If that last second it was Mutter, then it's not Muksa. L'chayra, it's that last second. It's a very good point you're making. Okay, so it's two very good points. We have to define in modern day what is called Bein Hashmashos for us here in America. And then we have to define exactly what part of Bein Hashmashos is critical for this law of Migud Iskatsoi, Bein Hashmashos Iskatsoi Lukula Yoima. There's a term you learn in the Gemara a million times. Migud, think about it, apply it in a modern sense in America. Very complicated. What is Bein Hashmashos in America? Which point is the Bein Hashmashos? Rav Moshe says these two rules. He says Bein Hashmashos does not begin until after 9 minutes, 10 minutes, and it's still, and the Shabbos has begun, considered as started. He writes in one place in the Sirah of Simcha Bunim Kon, it's a very long footnote, and he says that Rav Moshe told him 30 minutes. And it's put in print, he quotes, I think Rav Shimon Eider puts in print, he has there 40 minutes from Rav Moshe. So what is it? Is it 30? Is it 40? There are many stories where Rav Moshe questions, and he told two people different answers. There are many, many stories like that.
Did you tell us Rabbi Cohen said by Amir Lakov But Moshe said that
30
minutes, right?
30 minutes. And that's the same exact shayla. You tell a goy do malach v'yibein hashmashas. Mutter.
Same thing.
Bein hashmashas, bein hashmashas. What is called bein hashmashas? All of these halachas, it's all the same thing. Amir lakam is a shavus, and mux is a shavus. Same. Both of them are dinim d'rabbanim. They're both the same exact category. Even though he quotes an opinion soon that some of them mux is deraisa, but don't pass it like that. So certainly, it's a very good point you're making. What exactly if us? By the way, that's all by us. But Hasidim, they have a different set of rules. Okay, they have a whole different set of rules. They view Vaday Laila. They follow the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says 72 flat. Night begins 72 minutes after sunset, no matter where you are in the world. Period. The Zehu. When is Bein Hashmashos? 18 minutes before 72, which is 54 minutes. So 54 minutes after sunset is when Bein Hashmashos begins. Zehu, period. Even though for us it's pitch black dark. 54 minutes after sunset, it's dark as it gets. And it's not Laila yet. That's the beginning of Bein Hashmashos.
Kisser also has a shear, right?
What?
The Kisser Shulchan
Aruch. Also says something like that? He follows the Shita?
I don't know what Shita he follows, but it's
a very late Zman for what is called Laila. So, and in fact, the Chassid is a report. I don't know, this is controversial. I think Mr. Bloom, you told me about this. This is a controversial thing. Is that I think the Chassid, when they first came to America, there's a lot of discussion about this. They used to do Malacha. They did Malacha on Friday. Friday afternoon, the sun set. It was 53 minutes after sunset, Friday afternoon. They were driving their trucks. They were doing Malacha. You can do whatever you want. When does Bein Hashmashos begin for a chassid? When does Laila begin? In 72 minutes. When are you not allowed to do Malacha Misafik, Bein Hashmashos? 54 minutes after sunset. This was what Hasidim did. It could be they did it in Europe, for sure they did it. And they did it in America also. They did it in America. So I don't know, there's a story where the Rav Moshe and the Satmar Rav, they had a conversation. Aaron Kotler, and the Satmar Rav, they came to an agreement that since we all live together in America, it's not like Europe, a shtetl, everyone lives in their own little shtetl, it's not a good idea that Hasidim should be doing Malacha on Shabbos 54 minutes after sunset, and the Ashkenazim should observe this, and when Shabbos is over, so we would do Malacha. Well, people would do Malacha, I don't know, we do Malacha, people, they would do Malacha in those days, years ago, they did Malacha very fast. They didn't even, before Moshe gave the number, people did Malacha probably even 30 minutes after sunset. Right, they did Malacha. This, what we do today is a very chumra. People did Malacha in years, talk to old timers, you can still find some of the old timers, they did Malacha when Shabbos was over.
Three stars.
Three medium stars. So what is three medium stars? 25 minutes at most? 25 minutes?
Yeah.
People did Malacha 25 minutes after sunset. That's what the Ashkenazim did. So Hasidim, they look at you, you're Machal Shabbos. What are you doing over here? You're doing Malacha 25 minutes after sunset. You can't do Malacha until 72 minutes after sunset. What are you doing Malacha? So somehow there was an agreement that Rav Aaron would use his influence.
There was no agreement.
Okay, that's what they say. Okay, so this whatever, but the Sadmi Rav definitely, there's no thing that he did. One thing is for sure, that he did tell his Hasidim, or Hasidim were makabel upon themselves in America, it's a new thing, is that they're not going to do Malacha after sunset. They don't do Malacha.
The agreement was that Lake would become Hasidish.
They don't do Malacha. Hasidim today has a very big chumrah. They don't do Malacha after sunset. They have come under our influence.
The other way,
we've also, well, we've come under their influence, and we've much, much more. Okay, every half of what we do is today like Hasidim, everything we take all the minhagim, but we also, there's no doubt about it, that today it's unacceptable in this community, in Kamat, in the whole New York City, and almost all over the world, whole America, for a person to do Malacha 25 minutes after sunset, you're not going to see that. Maybe you'll find people doing Malacha 41 minutes after sunset. That you'll still find. 41 minutes for what?
Hasidim would still be able to
daven mincha. Exactly. Hasidim can still daven mincha until 54 minutes. even more. They go all the way until 72 minutes. You can daven Bein HaShemashos also, you can daven them. So they go all the way until 72. They'll daven Mincha all the way until 72 minutes. That's what they'll do.
So Shabbos is candlelighting is 417 this coming week.
Yeah, that's 18 a year.
Would be 435.
Right.
They could daven up to 547.
They can light candles. They can light candles until 54 minutes after
sunset.
They can light candles.
435. They would be davening approximately.
They're davening. Let's talk about doing melacha deraisa. Talk about lighting candles. Melacha deraisa.
530.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they hold. That's the Magen Avraham Shita.
Wow.
That's the Magen Avraham Shita. So
they practice that today?
No, they don't. They don't as a chumrah, not as a nikkur hadin.
Wow.
They practice that as a chumrah. They
do because they want the kids out.
They somehow it's very interesting. Is somehow they accepted to stop doing it. They used to do malacha. I think in Europe in Poland and Europe maybe in Russia Chassidish Kehilos they did malacha until 54 minutes after sunset. In America, I don't know why, in America, somehow, the Satmar Rav, it seems, I don't know the details, you have to research this, he influenced them that they should not do malacha. After sunset, you should mukabel, like the Litvaks, don't do malacha after sunset, even though during the weekday, nothing has changed. The only thing, everything else is business as usual. Davening, they'll daven mincha without a blink of an eye, for sure until 54 minutes, and maybe even until 72 minutes, because they also nam to makmet to daven bein hashmashas. Other, they hold that davening bein hashmashas is even ideal. I think some hold even the ideal you can daven bein hashmashas, but that's not the mahalach of the litvish olam. You don't do like that. Okay, but in Eretz Yisrael is not accepted. In Eretz Yisrael, they do not accept the sheet of the Magen Avraham, even among Hasidim. Among Hasidim, because Eretz Yisrael, the sun sets in an instant. Okay, the sun sets very quickly in Eretz Yisrael. The geographical location of Eretz Yisrael is very different than Europe and America. Okay, Europe and America is almost very similar, almost the same. But Eretz Yisrael is further south, right? It's much further south. No, it's further north. Further north. It's much further north. I'm sorry. It's further north. I'm confused. Okay, it's further south. So therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, it gets dark very quickly. No in Eretz Yisrael waits to do malacha 72 minutes. In Eretz Yisrael, they're doing malacha probably 30 minutes after sunset, the most. Anyone know for sure? When is Shabbos over in Eretz Yisrael after sunset? I think it's like L'chumrah, 30 minutes. If they even wait that long, once the sun sets, bang, it gets dark right away. So they do. So they follow the Gra. Everyone followed the whole Eretz Yisrael came out. They follow the Gra. Shabbos is over. The day Shabbos is over when the sun when it gets dark. When three medium stars come out, and if you want to be machmir, when it means three medium stars, you're not going to be machmir more than something like 30 minutes, 35 minutes. That's really a chumrah. And in America, we're waiting here to do mulacha 50 minutes after sunset, because in America it doesn't get dark so quickly. But if you follow, the Magen Avraham in Eretz Yisrael, then they would not be allowed to do mulacha for 72 minutes. Wow, they would be waiting to do mulacha in Eretz Yisrael more than an hour and 10 minutes after it got dark. So they don't do that. They're not the machan. And also, you're going to daven mincha 72 minutes after sunset. It's too far fetched to do that in Eretz Yisrael because it gets dark so quickly. So the minhag of Eretz Yisrael is to follow the sheet of the Gra, which is like what we do. Is what we do is that we follow sunset and Bein HaShemashos begins immediately until it gets three middle stars. But you should know that not everyone. This is the vast majority. I know, for example, that Rav Yonason David is the son-in-law of Rav Chutner, married to Rebbetzin Brurio David, the famous seminar BJJ, and he has a yeshiva. They have a yeshiva called Pachad Yitzchak, and there they do something very unusual. They, when Yom Kippur is over, I don't know why he still is an American. He follows the Magen Avraham. And Yom Kippur is not over. Is this very much no Yalacha L'mayis Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is not over. When is Yom Kippur over? Same time Shabbat. When can you eat? So if you follow the Magen Avraham, Yom Kippur is not over in Eretz Yisrael until 72 minutes after sunset. If you follow the Gra, Yom Kippur is over approximately 30 minutes after sunset. And also Ni'ilah, you have to do Birchas Kohanim, and the minhag is to do Birchas Kohanim when it's still day. That's not so simple why it has to be day, but that's when it's done. It's done while it's still day. So you have to do the Birchas Kohanim before the sun sets. So what do you do to stretch it out? What does everyone in Eretz Yisrael do? You're doing Birch, you're doing up to Moedim before the sun has set. And now you finish Moedim. And you have to finish saying the rest of Chazar Sashatz. And you have to say Shema Yisrael Baruch Shem Hashem Elokim and Kaddish Teskabel and Avinu Malkeinu. And what else you have to say? That's it. Kein Lo Shofar. How long does that take? It doesn't take 30 minutes. You'll finish Birchos Kohanim with the sun setting. And now you have to get to the end of Ma'ariv. And when is Yom Kippur over? Not at least for another 30, 35 minutes. What do you have left to do in the Ilah? You have left to do in the Ilah, finish up the Shemona Esrei, Sim Shalom, and Avinu Malkeinu, and the Shema Yisrael. It takes a long time, by the way. It takes a long time to say Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem Hashem Elokim. They kvetch. It takes a long time to do that. It takes a good almost 10 minutes. You'd be shocked, clock it, how long it takes. But it doesn't take 35 minutes. So they're stuck. So what does every shul and every shul do? They say every single Avinu Malkeinu, pasuk by pasuk, all 44, to stall. Okay, it's a real technique to stall. But that's only when we have to get to 35 minutes or 30 minutes. What do you do if you're following the shita of the Magen Avraham, who holds that Yom Kippur is not over until 72 minutes is over? You're in a lot of trouble. So in Pachad Yitzchak, in the Yeshiva Pachad Yitzchak in Eretz Yisrael, they have this problem. So I don't know what they do. I think they finish Ma'ariv and they just do nothing. They don't do anything. They don't daven Ma'ariv until they I don't know, because you can't stall. How much could you possibly really stall? And they wait to break their fast until it's 72 minutes. Very rare. And what I've heard is everyone leaves. They finish davening Ma'ariv, and everyone goes down the block to daven Ma'ariv somewhere else, because people are not going to torture themselves and wait, they're not going to take this chumrah. It's not a chumrah which the average person there shows was makabel. For whatever reason, it's not really clear why, Rav Chudner, Rav Yonis and David, for whatever reason, they were makabel this chumrah that they follow for Yom Kippur at least. I don't know if they do the whole year. For Yom Kippur, they follow the shita of the Magen Avraham, and they wait 72 minutes like in America. In America, okay, we don't know, most of us don't wait 72 minutes, but in the Olam of the Yeshivas, they do wait 72 minutes. Okay, most of us wait 50 minutes. Okay, Machmi waits 60 minutes. But in the Yeshiva world, it's very common to wait for Shabbos to be over 72 minutes. In Eretz Yisrael, the Yeshiva world only waits 30 minutes, something like that. No one waits in Eretz Yisrael 72 minutes. But there appears there are some carryovers. People have come from America, people have come from Chutz, from Europe, that still makabel this chumrah. And this chumrah has a very big nafkamina when it comes to breaking your fast on Yom Kippur. Now these halachas also play a very big part in Bris Milah. It's a very big issue now in Bris Milah. A baby is born with Mitzvah Shabbos. A baby is born Erev Shabbos. Okay, during these times, and you're really getting involved in very, very complicated issues, as the Bris Milah is going to be on Shabbos, Chil Shabbos. So what do you do? So every person has a different Rav, and they have different opinions. And then you get into bigger questions, is the Moyel may not be from your Chevra. The Moyel is a Chassidish Moyel. You want to use this Chassidish Moyel. And you're a Litvak, and your Rav is a Litvish Rav. And your Rav tells you to do the Bris on Shabbos. And the Moyel would never do this, if it was his own child, he would never do it on Shabbos. So can he still be your Moyel? Or vice versa? These are all very complicated questions, and there is no clear answer to all of these questions. And every single situation is custom tailored to a specific approach in halacha. Okay, and now we want to get this more complicated, you get into muksa. When is Bein Hashmashos? Okay, so everything gets even more complicated. Are you a Litvak? Are you a Chassid? Are you in America? Are you in Eretz Yisrael? Even if you're in Eretz Yisrael, from which community do you belong to? So you're getting into all of these very complex, and even Eretz Yisrael, wherever community you fall to, they are chumras. You're waiting a certain amount of time with Mitzvah Shabbos as a chumra, not because it's an Iker Hadin, but when it comes to Muxer, Moshe says, you don't follow chumras, you follow the Iker Hadin. So the Iker Hadin, when is the Iker Hadin? Gets very, very complicated. And when it gets very, very complicated, the people have a tendency to shy away and just be machmir. Just be machmir. If you don't need to get into the issue, so why get into the issue? Why put yourself into a difficult situation? Okay, let's continue. Let us continue. Okay, just to make sure there's no emergency here. Baruch Hashem, no emergency yet. Okay. Let's continue. Halacha ches. Oh, v'od klalamu, v'od klalamu. G'shem sh'asud l'tatlo ma'muksa kakach asu l'itin kli sh'yipol boi ha'muksa. You're not allowed to cause a utensil to become muksa. The classic example is you have a ner, and the ner is dripping with oil. This can be nogei Chanukah. It's coming up soon. Shabbos already, you pretty much know what's going to happen, so it's not so common. You already have yourself set up to protect yourself. But if you have oil in a ner, the oil when Shabbos begins is muksa. Why is the oil muksa? Because the oil is designated for fire. It's set aside for, let's say, l'tzrach mitzvah. It's muksa machmas mitzvah. Or let's say it's muksa machmas iser. Let's say it's not for ner shal mitzvah, but stam is muksa. And now the oil is dripping. There is a crack in the receptacle. The oil is dripping and it's getting your carpet dirty. It's getting the chair, the table dirty. So what do you want to do? I want to go take a utensil and put the utensil underneath the ner in order to accept the drip that's coming from the receptacle. Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to do that? No. You have to let the carpet get ruined. You have to let the tablecloth get ruined. Why? Because if you're going to put the receptacle underneath it, you're not going to be able to move the receptacle on Shabbos. Because the receptacle is now going to be muksa. Because the receptacle is now going to be a basis, l'davar ha'asr. Those drops of oil are forbidden. Are forbidden. Because it's muksa. Now the utensil that's accepting these drops of oil is going to be a support for those drops of oil. So it comes out now that you've taken a good utensil, which can be moved around on Shabbos, and I have made it dysfunctional by putting it in a place where it's going to be makabel muksa, and then I can't move the utensil. By doing so, it's like I've taken the utensil, I've taken a hammer, I've destroyed it. Are you allowed to destroy utensil on Shabbos? Forbidden. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. You're not allowed to destroy kalim. It's not a disadaraisa to destroy utensil, but it's under the category of soiser. Soiser midrabanan, when destroying utensils. I have not physically destroyed the utensil, but I have conceptually destroyed the utensil, because the utensil cannot be moved. So the
it's also a problem.
It's also a problem. You're putting a towel, so the towel also is a utensil. You mean mavakel the towel?
Yeah, but the towel is up for that purpose.
So you want to go? What?
To observe something.
So it doesn't matter. Let's see. It's not so simple.
Put your hand under there.
You're putting your hand. So your hands are never muksa. L'chor you can. On your hand, there are certain things that never become muksa. Food never becomes muksa. A sefer never becomes muksa. Your hands, your body is never muksa. So you're right. That would be a good idea to put your hands there and you'll be mekabel. Sit there the whole Shabbos, mekabel the drips. What?
You figure out the oil is going to go for another 10 minutes. So
maybe. You're saying it's a good idea. Let's see. We have to get a lot of these things. We have to go to the art school and the other whole bookcase. The whole bookcase and the Svarim stores, mamish, a whole shelf of all the books on the laws of muksa, and analyze all the modern day applications.
Is a book considered muksa?
No, a book is never muksa. A reading material is never muksa.
So can I take a book and put it under that?
Maybe you can.
I don't care about the book. I mean,
but the book. Wait.
Becomes a
boss. A book can become. Books are kli. A kli becomes a right. A book can become a boss. Probably not. But your body, l'chor cannot become a boss. I don't think there's a concept called boss. Food also. I don't think a food can become a boss. I don't know. I don't remember. We have to see. We all call on because Hashem shall tell the mabuk. So kachos l'chor kli l'shiva by amuk. So v'zeh nikrim bitul kli me hachena. Very unusual nikud. Me'achonoi, we were saying Yeshiva Me'achonoi. This called me Mavadokli Me'achonoi from its designation. Sharei, I told you something. I told you you're destroying it. He's saying you're gluing it down to the table. You take crazy glue, Elmer's glue, whatever glue, and you're gluing it down to the table. You want to do it on Shabbos? No. Chibur. You're not allowed to permanently attach a utensil to another object. What's the Isser? I don't know exactly. It's certainly also Midrabanan. What? Bone? By Kalim? Midrabanan. Boine Kalim. So it's Isser Boine. It's construction. So they have a kin since you can't move it, it's like you glued it down to the table. It's Isser Midrabanan Boine. Vyoid. Another example. Another example. Anything that has been designated by the Ba'olim Shalachem Rachash. Now this is very interesting. This is Lom Shal Halacha. She'enu Chashav Etzla Machmashu Oshir. A person is a very wealthy person. So for him, this is a waste. This is plastic cup, right? Oshir. Only use glass. China. I would never use a paper cup. Come on. Multi-billionaire. Use a paper cup. Wouldn't be caught dead using a paper cup. So a paper cup is muksa. Is it possible to be like something like that? It is possible. Okay, today I don't think there are any ashirim today in the world that I know of that do not use a plastic cup. Okay, it's hard for me to imagine the richest people that I know. Bill Gates, if you would come to a meeting. What? I don't know Bill Gates. But let's say Bill Gates, you would invite to some type of and they have plastic cups. Well, you tell me he wouldn't use a plastic cup? I can't imagine. The Queen of England wouldn't use a plastic cup? Hard to imagine such a thing. What?
That I would.
Yeah? The Queen of England would not use a plastic cup? Okay, maybe. Fine. These techie guys, you see how they dress. Yeah. Adrabats, it's a mila. It's a mila to use a plastic cup. Right? So you're hearing a raya from someone in tech. Okay, I have some friends in tech. They're all very Adrabah, environment and these type of things. So, you know, they use recyclables, whatever it is. But lo yitzu, you have a person that would not use a plastic cup. It's muksa. And now an ani comes into the house and he sees a plastic cup on the table. Can the ani use the plastic cup? No. Unbelievable. Why not? Because since the usher is the baal, he's the owner of this object, and for him this is it needs my dignity. I think it's mekatzer the yadayim. He was waiting for the servant to remove it from the house. So it's how did it even get here? It's a pella. How it got into the house? Plastic cup. So it's muksa. He decides. You have a right to decide the status of an object. So an ani is not allowed to use the object, because since the usher has designated this as muksa, bein hashmashos, so it's muksa for the ani. The ani is not a balabas to decide. The ol kalam called
a shoksu
balabalam. Listen, even was the was called a shoksu balabalam shulchan machmashin choshev etzlam machmashu oshir havi muksa af lo aniim. The muksa l'oshir, this is a new yisoid. It's muksa l'oshir, havi muksa af lanim. Le'efichach, chasichas chedesh shenish bira. A piece of broken pottery. Okay, it doesn't give you my example. It gives you an ancient example, which is totally relevant today, which is a piece of cheres, which shatters. Because today, even the poorest person whose cheres shatters is going to throw it in the garbage. A piece of cheres that shatters. So, im lezorkol ashba, mutl tafel. If it was not thrown into the garbage, because you can use it, because you can still use the broken pieces for a function. Even if it's in the street where there's nothing else available. Under the garbage, an usher has a broken piece of pottery. And him, it's worthless, so he goes into the garbage. Even though an usher whole this means significant. Also, look at this only applies to a cheres, which is called a utensil. Okay, now he goes into a new category. So that really ends his example. Now he's going on to a new discussion. So the bottom line over here is, yeah, his example is a cheres, and it shatters. It shatters before Shabbos. What is your mindset? An asher, my mindset is garbage. an Ani, his mind says, no, I'll use it for other things. I'll use it in my house for other things. So an Asher before Shabbos, it's shattered. In his mind, it's garbage. Therefore, it's Muksa. Shabbos, Ben Ashmashas, it was in the state. And Ani walks in on Shabbos. He wants to now use those broken pieces for a purpose. No, it's been decided by the Asher that it's Muksa. But if the Ani broke before Shabbos, and for him it would be functional, and now the Ani wants to use it on Shabbos, it's not Muksa. Now, new category. Aval. Avon of the Eitzim. What's a yahav? Yahav, something which is not a utensil. It's a stone. It's wood. Kevon shaloha yilchem b'taras kli. It's not a utensil. Avon pit shaloha l'chas b'chem. Oslo taltel. It doesn't make a difference. If you have in the street stones, you're not allowed to pick them up even where there's an Erev and throw it at a bus. Or throw it at a car. You're not allowed to do it. You know, today you go to jail now. They passed a new law in Israel. If you throw a stone at a vehicle, a Jew throws a stone at a vehicle, they have new laws. New laws, the Knesset. What?
They make it Erev Shabbos.
That's what I said. That's why they asked them. That's Muksa. We were machaving all the stones in the whole Eretz Yisrael. I've been Mukhan for throwing at people that are machal Shabbos. Okay, but today, there's a law. It's a very serious law. They can put you in jail. They can mamish put you, a person in jail, if you throw a stone, a Jew throws a stone at a vehicle, and also if a Palestinian throws a stone at a Jew, then they can shoot him. They can't shoot him because of whatever. But
should be able to shoot them.
Yeah, and the whole world will explode, right? The whole world will explode. Even though a stone is functional, I can take the stone used to cover utensil. You have to go and take the stone and do something to polish it, sharpen it, do something to show that you're designating it. Now it goes back to the previous halacha. There's no difference between a that zorkul ashpa yeshchilik. If you throw into the garbage, the difference. The nishpa bechol zorkul av Shabbos mutul taltal. If you throw it, it's going backwards. If you have over here a utensil, the utensil breaks before Shabbos, but I did not yet throw it into the garbage, so I have not yet made a decision if I still want to use it. And now Bein Hashmashos has passed, and Bein Hashmashos, it was not yet designated to be garbage, so then it's good. Then I can still use it. Kevon Shem Bein Hashmashos Hayutar is clear off. But if I already designated it to be, I threw it into the garbage before Shabbos has begun, I've made a statement that this thing will not be used for me on Shabbos, then it's going to be Muksa. It's too little too late. Okay, next page, we begin with Muksa.
If the tefillin was inside the bag of the talit,
yeah,
and he's going to take it, he's going to touch the tefillin.
Say it again?
The tefillin and
sissi. Tefillin?
Yeah.
But that's special, I'll tell you when you come later on. Tefillin is a special law of Muksa. Okay, let's do a little bit. It's late. Let's just do a little bit. It's late. Let's do a little bit.
Take this talit to cover it.
Tefillin and talis is a whole separate set of rules and laws of Muksa.
No, it's together.
It's together. Yeah. So the talis on top. Talis on top, it's not a buster, so it's mutter. However, if you have to go and move, open up the zipper, by opening up the zipper, you're going to be moving it, it can be a problem. A talis big, tefillin inside is a very big problem in halacha. It happens all the time. You need an additional talis. A guest comes to shul and you need to give them a talis. And the only talis you have is your weekday talis in your locker with your tefillin. And the only way you're able to maneuver to open up the bag in order to get the talis out is by moving the entire bag. And in that bag there is tefillin. And tefillin is muksa. So you're going to be moving muksa. So and the plastic bag is a basis. So it's a very big problem if you're even allowed to do it.
If the tefillin in the separate bag inside the talit.
It doesn't matter. The separate bag is being supported by the outer bag. No, what do you mean yachad? Tefillin is automatically muksa. You cannot. No, it doesn't make this, but it's a basis. If you have a big talis bag.
The talis, the basis for the tefillin. Why do you say the tefillin is the basis for the talis?
Because it's
on a table.
generally speaking, you have a big bag. In the bag, you have two things: you have a talis and you have tefillin.
Right.
Most will put the talis on top.
Right.
If it's lying very nicely and innocently on the table, and you don't need to move the bag, open the zipper of the plastic, or open up the velvet bag, whatever it's called, the dabig, and you can very delicately take the talus out without moving the tefillin gesundheit. Let's say the talus underneath the tefillin, or let's say the tefillin bag is upside down, someone turned it upside down, or let's say it's standing up in your locker or in the shelf, and the only way for me to pull out the talus is by maneuvering the whole bag itself. I need to maneuver the entire bag, so you're being metaltel muksa, because the bag itself is a basis ledavar ha'aser. What's the aser? Tefillin. Tefillin are muksa zehu. There's no way to avoid that. Tefillin is muksa, period. Nothing to talk about. We'll say it later on. Chayadim said later on. So now you're being metaltel, it's basis davar ha'aser. The solution basically is to do it kila achar yad. Some say you don't need to do kalachar yad because Godol covered habriyos. Anytime you deal with covered habriyos, the laws of muksa are suspended.
You take your sitter and you put it into the talus bag beforehand.
You want your sitter, it doesn't matter. So is it bosses or davar ha'asar or davar ha'mutter?
So again, the question is, if you put on your table a leichter and you put down a sitter.
So it's a bosses, the davar ha'asar and davar ha'mutter. You're right, then it may be good. It may indeed be good. You're right. Maybe it will be good. I made a mistake then. Okay, it depends on the situation. We have to go, there's a whole section.
If you never touch that palace,
okay.
It's a
you know, you're
palace.
Saying very good. It might be.
That palace, I will wear it.
But wait a minute, but wait a minute. What is the talus supporting? It's only a boss, it's a davar ha'aser, it's not davar ha'mutter. Is there anything else in your talus bag? No, that's why there's a problem. It's a very big problem. This happens all the time. It's not so simple. If you have a regular person, they only have in their bag a talus and tefillin. Not everyone has a siddur. He's saying you have a siddur, so then it'll be a basis, or davar aser, or davar hamutar. But let's say there is no siddur, you have some candy inside, or you have a tzettel, you have some, I don't know, you have some... People would put in their tefillin bags, the strangest
Shaman.
Things you ever saw. So maybe you're right. Maybe then
that's a big problem.
You ought to put something in there, because it's zimun. Tashmisha mitzvah. Okay.
The Kedusha.
Right, so in the bag itself, but the talus bag you're allowed to. In the tefillin bag itself, but in the talus bag you're allowed to put other things. Okay. So these things we have to discuss in detail. This is a topic. It's a topic we'll get to. Let's stop now. We'll take a very short break. It's on top now. We'll talk about the topic until Mincha.